This is a great celebration today. But I want to ask the ultimate Easter question. After Jesus telling us that He is the resurrection and the life, that if we believe in Him, we will live, He didn't stop there. He ended with this. Do you believe this? Do you really believe this? John Piper tells of his account when his associate pastor challenged him and said, why don't you phone up Dick Pomerantz, very popular radio show host down in the States of Minnesota. This is back in the 1980s. He says, why don't you call him and tell him, you know what, I would like to have a big sort of a debate in front of the university students at the University of Minnesota. Well, Dick Pomerantz was known for his wit, smart, keen mind, very controversial. And so John Piper said, okay. So they phoned him up, and this guy was more than eager just to roast him in front of the university crowd. And so this is something John Piper had never made himself so vulnerable. So there he is in front of the University of Minnesota. And this controversial radio host to debate with him about his beliefs in Jesus. So he thought, well, I'm all ready for this. I've been in this ministry for a long time. So he said, we sat down in front of each other in front of this huge crowd of university students. And he says the first question out of his mouth was something like this. Piper, why do you practice voodoo? Well, you don't go to seminary to learn how to answer questions about voodoo. He's going, excuse me, could you explain? What do you mean, why do I practice voodoo? Well, you know, believing that a man can die and rise again, and that this can have an effect on people far away. It's like sticking pins in a doll and hoping it will hurt someone far away. Well, from there on went the debate. Reflecting on his experience, he says, I came away from there realizing two things. When you talk about the resurrection of Jesus, there is the truth question. Did it really happen? Is there real evidence? There's the truth question. But he says, intertwined with that is the meaning question. Because without the meaning, the truth will have no effect. It won't grab people. He said, I realized I needed to be prepared to share with the crowd the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus. I want to quickly, in a couple of minutes, just go back to the truth question. Then we'll go to the meaning question for a few minutes. Why do we believe it is a truth? And there's a lot of reasons. One of the things that I would go to, and it sounds like a very soft answer at first, and I would agree with you, it sounds like a soft answer. But it is that Jesus' own claim that He would rise from the dead. Now that doesn't prove it, but it strongly points to it, and I'll share with you why this is so important. There are a lot of people who give no credence to their death and the resurrection of Jesus, but they still honor Jesus as a good teacher and as a good moral man. They honor Him for His integrity. The rest doesn't mean anything to them. Not the miraculous stuff, but just the good human stuff. But how can you honor Jesus for His integrity if He made claims, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it again? And another point, even some more specific claims about how that would happen in Matthew 20. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you can't believe some of his claims, and then Jesus does not have integrity. They are all intertwined, the truth and the meaning. And so we go right back to, first of all, his claims of what he would do. That are very important. That add credence to who he is. And of course, there's the stone that's rolled away. I noted that in the Gospel of John. It said they noted that the stone had been removed. But the word for stone, or the word for removed, the original word, the root part of that word means to be lifted up. Though to many it might have appeared, they just thought, oh, it looks like the stone's been rolled away. In John's account, he says, it looked, he took a closer look, like that thing, that was 4,000 pounds, had been just lifted, put off to the side. Miraculous. A Roman seal was considered tamper-proof. That seal was busted. The empty tomb, they never did find a dead body anywhere. That tomb was empty. To think of these fighting gladiators that were at that tomb. How can you explain fighting machines guarding that tomb and suddenly there's no body? The grave clothes, undisturbed with the resin as they pasted it all together with the cloths and the resin and everything around the body. And so they looked in, and that cloth had the body shape. But somehow the body had come out of it. And you just look at how it's like the caterpillar cocoon. The cocoon is still there, but there's nothing on the inside. But the exact shape, it's all there. Something happened to the body. You look at all the various eyewitnesses. Paul has something interesting to say. He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Then he throws this in. Most of whom are still living today. There were almost 500 eyewitnesses that were still living when this truth was proclaimed by Paul 20 years later. And he's saying, you know what? If you need proof, those people are still alive. Go ahead, talk to them. You just go right ahead and ask them, have you seen the risen Lord? Have you seen Jesus? They're still out there. Only a few have died. There's almost 500 people you could interview. They're still there. And of course, how can you explain the changed lives as the disciples who at one point are hiding behind the doors for fear of the Jews suddenly become the most brave men in the world? Matthew was killed in Ethiopia. Mark was dragged through the streets until he was dead. Peter, Simeon, Andrew, and Philip were crucified. James was beheaded. Bartholomew was flayed alive. Thomas was pierced with lances. James the Less was thrown from the temple and stoned to death. Jude was shot to death with arrows, and Paul was boiled in hot oil and then beheaded. They didn't go through that just because they made up or believed in a made-up story. They believed in the resurrection of Jesus and were willing to pay with their lives. As Dr. Simon Greenleaf, the royal professor of law at Harvard University, one of the greatest legal minds America has ever seen, he concluded that according to the jurisdiction of legal evidence, the resurrection of Jesus is the best supported event in all of history. In fact, he was so convinced by the overwhelming evidence that he personally committed his life to Christ. God has dealt with the truth question. That's been dealt with adequately. But then comes the meaning question. go back, and I want to quote two insights that John Piper then carries on with, and I will carry on a few more, and we'll come to a close. As he thought about the resurrection, here is what Piper observed. He says, here is what makes this so relevant in our lives. And his first point is this: God is not served, but he serves. And he writes, it often astonishes people to hear that right at the heart of Christianity is the truth that God does not want you to prove your strength by serving him. Instead, he wants to prove his strength by serving you. God's word says in Acts 17:24 and 25, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all men life and breath and everything. We are the ones with deficiencies. He has come to serve us and minister to us and give his strength to us. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's how he served us. He came to meet our needs through his death. This is very relevant in the application of his death and resurrection. He did it to bring us the strength for all our deficiencies. Secondly, it points out to us the uniqueness of our God. Isaiah 64. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, nor eye has seen a God besides you who works for those who wait for him. And then in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show his might in behalf of those whose heart is toward him. God is looking to show his strength and prove himself to the world through you and me. This is very unique in our God, the kind of God we serve. He's just looking for open, waiting hearts, and he will come in and do his work through us. In this resurrection, I note too, as I was reading through all the different Gospels, or I was reading for the four accounts of the resurrection, something jumped out at me in John. As Mary realizes Jesus is not there, and she's walking away, she's weeping, and she meets this man, and she mistakes him for a gardener, not knowing this is Jesus. She asks him, could you tell me where you've laid him? Where is his body? He is not here. And Jesus said one word. He said, Mary. Mary. Instantly, Mary knew who he was and grasped him. He knew her name. She recognized his voice. All she needed was the voice. Mary. It all came back. It all came back. Now you may think I'm pushing this thought a bit, but it comes to me that this is supreme importance in that death does not destroy human personality. The essence of we are passes through death undisturbed. We continue to be who we are. One day we'll all, if we are in Christ, we'll all be in glory. We'll all be changed. And if we don't happen to recognize each other, all you have to say is say the name. And you go, I recognize that voice. I know who you are. We will just continue to carry on into our eternity, who we are in Christ. It doesn't change. We're still we, still us. We will recognize and know and love each other and want to clasp each other's feet as Mary did with Jesus. But of course, the ultimate meaning of this whole story is why Jesus came. That was to meet our needs. He died to meet my need. He rose to meet my need. He reigns to meet my need. He came to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. There are ultimately two needs He came to meet. You can boil it down to two. He came to meet the need of the sin question. Because the one thing that blocks us from all the gifts of God is sin. That is the one thing that we all need to deal with. It is the sin question. That was dealt with on the cross and validated by His resurrection. That's why Paul could say, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, we are still in our sins. But Christ has been raised from the dead. The righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3:18. He dealt with the sin issue by nailing that all to the cross. And then He dealt with the death issue. Those are the two ultimate needs, the need to deal with sin and the need to deal with death. What will death do to you? Will it scare you? What will be the effect of death on you? How will you face it? All of us were made to live. We have this insatiable thirst to want to live. Nobody wants to die. We want to live. God made us to live. But we will face death. How will we deal with it? Jesus came to deal with the death issue. He who believes in me, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And he who believes in me will never die. That is a personal hope issue. He said, I am the resurrection. He doesn't say, I give resurrection. I'm in, oh, you want a resurrection? Well, I'm in charge. No. I am. Resurrection, I always think of resurrection as an event. Well, yeah, that's an event. Jesus said, don't think of the resurrection so much as an event. Think of the resurrection as a person. I am the resurrection. I, Jesus, lift you out of all your different needs and things that hold you down. I am the resurrection. You don't have to buy 500 books by Hal Lindsey and read all about the prophecies in the future. Don't simply look at it as an event. It's simply in a person. I am the resurrection. Just focus on Jesus, how He's come to lift us. And of all those things that have been holding us back, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me. Here's something interesting. It's not he who believes in me, but it's he who believes into me in the original Greek. Twice it says, he who believes into me. You've got to lean into Jesus and give him everything. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. No. You have to believe into him for him to be your resurrection and your life. Is Jesus in your heart and life? Have you come into Him, into His love, into His forgiveness, into His hands? Have you taken that step? Well, very quickly, how do we summarize this meaning question? We've dealt with the truth question, now is the meaning question. And I close with just a few thoughts. Doubt is dealt with. Doubt is dealt with. Anyone with doubts can come to this scripture and find answer for your every doubt. Doubt can be dealt with. And Jesus has a way. If we are serious about wanting to know Him, serious about wanting to know the truth, the Bible says He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Doubt can be dealt with through these evidences. But secondly, loneliness can be lifted. He was raised so that He could have fellowship with us, and we could have fellowship with Him. You know that old we call it an Easter song. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And then we come to the chorus. He lives, He lives, He lives within my heart. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. It's a relationship. Loneliness is lifted because He was raised that we might have fellowship with Him and He with us. And our deepest need is to have a relationship with God. That blockage is lifted. Loneliness is lifted. Thirdly, weakness is wiped out. Weakness is wiped out. The things that hold us back, all the things that hinder us, all the bad habits, all the things that have a stranglehold on me can be lifted. Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that can give life to your mortal bodies, Paul said. I don't have to live with weakness. Fourth, guilt is gutted. Guilt is gutted. I don't have to live with guilt from my past. It's one of the things that's hard to get rid of, is memories of things we've done in the past and how the devil likes to come back and remind you of your past guilts. But in Jesus, my guilt is gutted. He releases me, not just of my sin, but of my guilt, and gives me a free spirit. And I can look back and say, well, I'm just thankful I don't have to dwell on it. I'm forgiven. It's dealt with. It's been taken off of me. And then lastly, death is destroyed. Death is destroyed. Someone has said that He has promised a rising. That His rising is a promise for everyone dying. And is a new beginning for everyone that feels their ending. Death is destroyed. Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into a dark chasm, but it's a step into the light. And the evidence is overwhelming. And so today, I can embrace the grip, the fear of death, which has been broken through the resurrection of Jesus, who conquered death by His rising. So I close with just a couple of questions and a closing song. Do you believe this? Jesus ended His teaching by the question in John 11. Do you believe this? Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came from heaven to live on this earth 2,000 years ago? Do you believe that when He died on the cross, He died in your place? He bore your punishment. He paid for your sins. Do you believe that? Do you believe that on Easter Sunday morning, He literally, physically, bodily rose from the dead, never to die again? Do you believe that Jesus is now seated at the right hand of God the Father? Do you believe that Jesus is truly the resurrection and the life? That He is able to remove the terror of death for those who trust Him? And are you willing to stake your life and those beliefs I just quoted? Do you believe? Will you say yes? The Bible says, with the heart we believe, but with the mouth we confess. Do you believe? And what will you do with that belief? Will you say yes to Jesus today? I'd like us to stand and close with that great Easter hymn as we just again celebrate the truth question and the meaning question. And if we can have those words on there, low in the grave He lay, up from the grave He arose. All right, awesome. Well, let's affirm our faith in what we believe.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, he arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.